Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Today we've got Tom Merritt here, and today you'll know how to put together an emergency kit with gadgets. Hey, welcome to Know How. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and you might notice that this fellow is not...
Leo Laporte!
He is Leo Laporte. No, not really. But if you don't know about the show, by the way, this is TWiT's how-to show. We show you all kinds of fun projects, and this one's particularly timely. And Tom Merritt is here of TNT fame, Sword and Laser fame. Used to show me how to do things on CNET with his how-tos.
I didn't know I was showing him.
No, he didn't know that, but I was watching the video, so this is kind of strange that I get to do a show with him about how to do stuff. So it's kind of neat. So... welcome aboard again.
So this is a topic that I actually like a lot. In fact, back during the Screensavers days when I was on the website, one of the first web features I had to put together for the Screensavers was a disaster tips thing for geeks. Because I think it was Hurricane Andrew hitting Florida. This was like 1999. And so we did a thing on the show, and I had to put that together. And of course, with the recent Hurricane Sandy out east, brought it back to top of mind, and I've learned a lot more about just generally how to prepare disaster and emergency kits since then. So it's not all going to be all that technical, but we're going to talk about websites that you can use to find resources and the things that you need to know, and some of the basics of just general, like, non-technology survival packs, and then some good gadgety stuff as well.
So before we actually dive into your backpack of wonderment and astonishment, what are good website resources people should check out before they even start putting together a pack?
Yeah, the first one that I would check out would be ready.gov. That is put together by FEMA. And the whole point of that website is to tell you the basics you need to have in your disaster supplies kit. Now, sort of the underlying theme for this sort of thing is you need to have enough to get by for 72 hours. But they give you a lot of different ways of putting that kit together. You'll need to have a gallon of water per day, per person for 3 days. You'll need to have a little bit of food, enough for a person for 3 days. You'll need to have basic things like can openers, a first aid kit, you know, so the sort of things that you might think about. But they also have optional things like, okay, if you've got kids, you might want to have some games and things to keep them entertained, because if kids get bored, they can get in your way, and that can actually be a danger. So there's all kinds of things to explore on that website to get ready to put together your kit. And they try to make it as easy as possible, because it's not fun to think about this stuff. And it's all, for most people, other than weird people like me, it's not fun to put together this kind of stuff. So they want to make it so you have a checklist, you go buy the stuff, you put it in a place, you make a plan, you're prepared for 72 hours of emergency whenever it happens.
You know, that government website looks way different than I used to see sites years ago. That looks like a very modern and very usable interface. It looks, I mean, the old days, you remember the old government sites, they look like just blue links and very difficult to navigate. But everything seemed really clearly labeled over at ready.gov. It's a really good start, so you can actually figure out what things you should be thinking about, even though you don't want to think about this. It's kind of important.
There's also 72hours.org, which is another website that will help you put together a kit. It's another institution from City of San Francisco, specifically for earthquake preparedness in this case. But if you live in any kind of disaster country, it's going to apply. And this, again, talk about nice interface. This one's really set up to be dead simple, to be like, okay, start here, make a plan, answer these questions about, do you have pets? Do you have a household? What's your home like? What should be in your go bag or your ready bag? And so this is another place to go to get ideas and get the basics of what should go in this kind of preparedness bag.
Now, you've got one more site on this list. It's a very long URL, so we have a nice, tiny bit.ly URL. But it's an Amazon list of things of where you could go and what kind of things to have when you want to actually go buy some of these things.
Yeah, Amazon.com, if you don't know, has these list features where people can make lists of things that they think are good to know about. One of the ones that I've used the most is Stephen King's Gunslinger series to know which order you should read the books in.
Because there's I did not see where this was going at all.
30 different books. So there's a bunch of people who have made lists of survival gear here. And these are not your, like, emergency basics and essentials. These are just other things that you might not have known about, like the Mountain House canned freeze-dried food, medical splints, emergency food bar cases, water disinfectant with iodine crystals, things that people say, hey, I've used this stuff. I've used this Coleman lantern. I can recommend it. We're showing one here on the screen in the video version right now, but there's lots of different ones you can look at, and it's a great way to kind of, if you're really starting to finish up and saying, okay, what else might I need that's not on the essential list, but I'll want to have in there.
You know, as nerds, I mean, we think about, we have all these things, but we want to make sure we're also entertained. So I ask the audience on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, I ask every now and then a question related to know-how. Now, this week we asked, what gadgets should you have in an emergency? And if you replied with the hashtag TwitKH, I could actually see it and track it during the week. So thanks to everybody who wrote in. Lots of great suggestions. The first one we got was from Chris Riordan. He wrote, an extension cord and power inverter for a car is a must-have when it comes to your emergency kit.
Yeah, so I've got a power inverter here. It's a nice, tiny one. I think I picked this up at an auto supply shop. But it has your regular outlet for, you know, most of the devices, laptops, et cetera, right here. That's what you can plug that extension cord into. This one also has a USB port on the side if you want to do some charging of phones and other devices. I also have this little USB device here. All it does is plugs into your cigarette lighter and gives you a USB port, and anything will work with that. I kind of leave this in my car all the time for charging gadgets. Not necessarily a disaster preparedness thing. This is the one that you could actually power generators, you could power heaters from your car if you lose power in the house.
I know. When I lost power a long time ago, I was a guest on TNT. I was able to use my phone plugged into an inverter, and my mom, she's on the East Coast right now, she kept charging her phone with her inverter because the thing is she had to run to the car, charge it together. She didn't have an extension cord for it, but she had the DC cigarette adapter.
Yeah, Becky Worley had to do that one time, too. It's a TNT tradition.
It's a tradition. There's always a disaster with TNT, apparently.
There's some kind of power outage or something.
We also got a couple more responses. Dan Phillips suggests having an encrypted USB drive with scans of important docs, deed to house, your birth certificate, in case originals are lost in a flood or fire. Now, that's a really great one because, you know, you think about keeping yourself entertained, but this is about keeping yourself, like, with peace of mind.
And you should probably still do this, but like scans of important documents like a driver's license, your passport, important phone numbers, those are all recommended to be in a bag written down in some kind of waterproof packet. But having them on a USB drive is a good secondary backup, because if you do have enough power, or maybe you're using an inverter and you have a laptop, that can make it more convenient. And again, when talk about sometimes seconds count sort of thing, you want to have different ways to do things so you have the fastest way to do it.
And last one we got from Scott. He wrote in to say, I keep a prepaid mobile Wi-Fi hotspot on a different network than my mobile phone. That way I have three different connections. Now, that was a really interesting one. You know, always having a hotspot on you or keeping one ready is really not a bad idea, especially since how these things have become very cheap.
Well, the prepaid too, right? You don't have to continually be paying $60 a month just to have multiple carriers. That's a smart bit of redundancy. Again, not essential, but it's the kind of thing where if it's important to you and you think it might help, why not?
Okay, so trying to get that flow of information going without access points, very difficult. Especially, I saw those lines, people standing outside of Starbucks because the Wi-Fi was working, the store was closed.
Yeah.
But that's all they wanted was internet access, because you want to know what's going on, when are expected things to change, what's going to happen in general. So, you know, especially if you have an access point, you know, definitely share that kind of data.
That reminds me about old cell phones. If you've got an old cell phone that all you can do is recycle it, if it's got a standard battery in it that's easy to recharge, you can, you know, like this one does. This one actually has a light-up battery in there.
Yes, that's from
you can see that.
From this old museum.
This is Liz's old phone. But this is a standard battery size, right? So you could probably keep that charged. We'll get into the fact that you need to continually update and maintain these bags to make sure everything's fresh and working. But you got a pretty standard battery there. Old phone, you don't have to keep it on service. You don't have to keep a SIM card in it necessarily. You can use it to make emergency calls. That's the law on these phones, is they have to at least be able to call 911. So throwing one of those in the bag is another good preventative measure in case your phone breaks or you run out of juice. You can at least make that one emergency call if you needed to.
Yeah, nowadays there are also phones that are powered by AA batteries. If you want to keep that in your emergency pack, that way you only have one kind of battery for that kind of device, or your flashlight or something else. But these devices are getting, the phones and the communication devices are getting cheaper and cheaper.
The AA battery one is especially cool because one principle that you can't always make work 100% is to have everything in your emergency kit work off the same batteries. So you can, if the batteries start to go, you could swap them back and forth between each other. And AAs are usually considered the best one to try to standardize on because they're the easiest batteries to get a hold of.
Yeah, because otherwise you have to have like a battery pack like I usually carry around. You may have a USB cable that goes to micro or mini, or if you have an old phone, it might be a proprietary thing. Kind of a pain in the neck. So if you can go with something that has the same kind of batteries, very useful. So you've got your Ready bag here, Tom. This is not a prop. This is, you use this at home.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can see it says earthquake/emergency bag. That's if somebody's staying at our house when we're not there, like watching the house, so they know what's in here. They know what's there. It's got our names on it in case we're carrying it around and pass out or something. Just general stuff. But a lot of this stuff I've put together on my own. I actually don't consider it 100% complete. I'm always working on it. And as I mentioned before, you want to twice a year check through your bags and make sure everything's still good. If you have food in there, it hasn't expired. If you have medicines in there, they haven't expired. Your batteries are charged if you're keeping batteries in there. You want to make sure your batteries are stored separately from other things, so if they do go bad, they don't contaminate other stuff. But I've got, some of this stuff is just basic. Like, I've got a tarp. If you need to sleep out rough, this is invaluable for putting down on the ground. It keeps you from getting wet.
All the gadgets in the world don't matter if you can't stay dry.
Yeah. I've got a lot of stuff, again, in a plastic bag. Moist towelettes, razors, candles. A lot of this stuff is listed on ready.gov. Mm-hmm. Kleenex, cotton swabs. I've actually got 3 pocket knives in here because pocket knives are just...
They go missing, I would imagine. Things.
They say you should have 2 ways of making fire. So I have a tinder kit here for like making sparks, but then I also have waterproof matches. I think those are here. I have strike anywhere matches in a waterproof case, so that they don't get wet. I got a tea light can, again another candle, some gauze, iodine, Band-Aids, antiseptic, and then I also keep all of the medicines. First aid, burn cream, aspirin, ibuprofen, all of that in a separate one. And one of the reasons I keep this separate is that when I go through to update stuff, I know all of the expirable stuff is together. This stuff is non-expirable. This stuff is non-expirable. I have batteries separate, so I can check and say, okay, these are non-expirable. I get the lithium batteries. It's not great to keep rechargeables. Rechargeables don't last as long. Lithium have the longest shelf life. So you just kind of throw them in there. I leave them in the package, and then I keep an eye on the expiration date on them. And that way they should be always good to go. If you are going to do rechargeable batteries, I wouldn't recommend keeping them in there, but you can keep them in a charger. Eneloops are great. They have the best shelf life. You throw these in a drawer, they last the longest of any rechargeable batteries I've tried.
Unlike a lot of studies that say that, okay, all the batteries are the same, you're saying the lithium ones last longer while they're being held in storage?
They lose their charge slower.
So the discharge, well, that's a good thing to keep in your bag. And if you're going to do a rechargeable, not necessarily something you can have access to if you have electricity to keep recharging it. But Eneloop seems to be the best brand that you found when it comes to slowest discharge.
And Gadget, The Verge, a lot of these kind of sites agree. Like, these are the best ones for not having to think about recharging them all the time.
And you're saying twice a year to check these things out. Are you putting things in your Google Calendar? Are you setting things? What kind of a reminder system should people
set be using? Set a calendar alert. You know, what I do is I just do it on whenever we change daylight saving time, because that happens twice a year. And so I just have it in my head. When daylight saving time hits, I need to check all my first aid kits, check my Ready bag, test my smoke alarms, all those things that you should do regularly. I try to do on that weekend when daylight saving time is coming. Also, a Leatherman.
A Leatherman tool. Some people suggest that as well.
Here's the problem, right? You buy this Leatherman, and you're like, this is an awesome Leatherman. I'm a geek. I love Leatherman. I'm going to use this.
This is a multi-tool.
Don't use your Leatherman or buy two. put it in the bag. That it's the kind of the hardest thing is like if it's not in the bag and you have to grab the bag to go, the idea is everything should be here. So buy one specifically if you're going to.
But it's such a cool toy,
Tom. Put it in there. I know. That's why I
said buy two.
Gotta
keep it separate. Okay.
Crank stuff. This is a crank flashlight. I actually got it from musiciansfriend.com when I bought my mixer. But it's a crank-up light, and it's an LED, so it's nice and bright. And you can, it's got three switches, so you can vary the brightness. And the crank stuff is the best because you don't have to keep worrying about it. Those rechargeable batteries in there will expire eventually, but it's the one that you have to worry about the least. I've also got the Grundig crank radio. I do not keep this in the bag necessarily. I do keep this out in the, I have two of them, one in each bathroom for weather and stuff. They allow you to put batteries in there and use it off the battery most of the time, but in an emergency, if these go bad, you've got these three rechargeables in here that you can charge up with the crank.
Now, I've seen last CES or so, I remember seeing a bunch of other devices out there that also have like a USB port for these things. So
yeah.
If you want to charge a phone or you want to charge any other gadget you have, there are other ones that aren't just flashlights. They do a lot more. So you want to double check that out because these cranks, I mean, as long as you have the ability to do it, you'll be able to have light or power wherever you need to do. So this has actually become quite popular. There's also those flashlights that use magnets where you can shake them and they give you some energy, some light. I found those to be not super bright.
Right.
I found these much better. I would definitely suggest the hand crank ones.
Printed maps. You may say, Tom,
maps.
What is wrong with you? I have maps on my phone. I have so many apps. I have an Android phone. I have Google Maps. If your stuff doesn't work, this battery will never die. So keep some maps of the local area in there as well. Gadgety stuff. More toilet paper. Not very gadgety.
Kind of important, though.
But don't overlook that one. Headlamp. I've just got mine's actually kind of old and beaten up because I used to use it. But if you're stuck in a place that's tight and you need to have your hands free, that's kind of a valuable thing. Compass, if you know how to use it.
It's funny how many things I actually have on my phone. I have the maps, I have the compass, I have flashlights, everything like that, just in case. But if that thing dies, it's not going to do me any good, especially
yeah.
if the network's down on top of that.
A little flashlight. This is a little Gerber one. One AA battery, but it's nice and bright. And this one actually has multiple settings, white, red, green, and blue. And I use the red one if you're searching for something. White light actually tires the eye out and makes you miss stuff. Red light is much less disruptive if you're actually looking around for something. I got some DEET in here. There's a whistle. This is the kind of stuff that you just find listed generally. I got a bunch of compasses. Gold Bond foot powder.
Gotta have it. You'll
be
traveling around.
If you're gonna be walking around a lot, I don't have a titanium spork, but I do have a carbon fiber spoon.
Carbon fiber spoon, no titanium sporks. Any more gadgety things in here? I mean, you've got.
No, that's pretty much all for the gadgets. You know, tin cups and stuff like that. There's a Camelback for water, filling up. Again, hat. That's the thing, right? You don't want the basic bag to be too reliant on electricity.
Right.
That's sort of your secondary stuff. This is mostly just like. If nothing else in the world works, can I get by and survive? Yeah, I can with this stuff.
I have a much less full case for this kind of thing. Usually when I go traveling, I always carry like two MP3 players, things like these are my emergency things. Multiple headphones because I need to make sure that if my headphones break, I can listen to music. Things to keep me sane. Things I can read on.
Right.
Lots of those extra things because if you're waiting for your power to come back or if you're even just having like paper maps, like this is not a joke. If you have like paperback books, things to keep yourself entertained while you're stuck in this kind of scenario, I gotta say it's pretty invaluable when it comes to that. Also, these don't crash. Okay?
Yep.
They always work.
Waterproof journal. Weatherproof journal with plastic-coated pages. Again, so if you need to write notes, you need to make some kind of plan of escape from the zombies, you can do so.
Yes,
in the rain.
I did ask, when I asked those things on Twitter, some people were suggesting weaponry for gadgets that you should have on
essential.
There.
It's not essential.
I'm not
isn't.
Necessarily thinking that you're preparing for a zombie apocalypse or not. You can have an axe, I don't know. But
pencil.
A pencil?
So,
is that like a stylus?
What? Again, never dies. Yeah.
It's like a stylus, but like...
It doesn't actually have to be a St. Louis Cardinals pencil, but should be.
That works better right here in an emergency, from what I understand.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know, like, all the stuff we're talking about, maybe we talk too fast, and you're like, what? Wait, what just happened? Is that a Grundig, or is that an L.L. Bean? Happens to be both when it comes to that flashlight. Well, we got show notes for you at twit.tv/KH. Everything that we talk about in the show is available on the site. So if you're wondering about any of the old projects we did or anything like that, Trust me, the show notes are there. I wrote them myself. There's detailed instructions to the point where you can pretty much do anything based on the notes alone. But if you want to watch the video, you can get that all the time on demand. Twit.tv/KH. It's in high def. It's got great audio. You can scrub and go backwards anytime you want to. I really like it, especially because I kind of forget what projects I do sometimes. So it's good to see that at twit.tv/KH, that is, it's available. So you guys sent us some great, great emails over the past couple of weeks. And last week we did a Hackintosh, right? We got an email about a secondary resource when it comes to a Hackintosh guide. He says, recently I saw episode 18 of Know How, and I would like to recommend a better and, he says, easier way to make a Hackintosh using MyHack. And we'll have the URL. You can see it on the bottom there. It'll be at the show notes. The site explains what parts to get and how to install the OS and everything in one place. I've been with Hackintoshes since Snow Leopard, and in my opinion, MyHack guide is the best. The only thing it lacks is the DSDT database, but you can always use Tony Mac x86 for that. So thanks for that email. We always love getting easier guides. Last week we talked about the Hackintosh. We used Tony Mac x86. I found it to be one of the most robust resources. It had everything in one place. But if this fellow says that MyHack is easier for him, definitely check it out, and we'll have that available in the show notes.
So, Tom, a lot of folks in the chat room are pointing out, like, what about spices, which is a great one, or tea, another great one. You're like, really? That's if you're dining on hardtack or whatever, you can scrape around, having a little bit of spice with you can actually make things much more palatable, make life a lot better, and it's very light to carry. Get tea, stuff like that. I didn't go through every single thing that's in here. That's what ready.gov, that's what 72hours.org are good for, is saying those kinds of basic things that you might want to put in the bag.
And you've repacked everything into your emergency bag right now. You're ready to go. It looks like you'll be ready if there's an emergency. Hopefully, you don't have to use it much.
Yeah, it's orange, because orange, if you ever notice why construction workers and rescue workers wear orange, it's the easiest color for people to notice and see. It sticks out from the rest of nature. This is actually an old CES bag. That was orange. It's nice and capacious. You probably want to keep these. This one looks really big, but it's actually fairly light because none of the stuff in here is really heavy. You want to keep them under 20 pounds, probably.
So, Tom, thanks for coming in and telling us all about what you have in here. I need to make my own pack. I've only been out in California for so long. You think I should have an earthquake bag at this point?
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to be this big. It doesn't have to be all the stuff that I have in here. Just go look at the checklist. There's like a dozen things basically that you need to have. So any old bag you have around, do a quick shopping list at a grocery store or drugstore, and you've got yourself at least minimally protected. And that's better. That's certainly better than not having anything.
Is there anything you'd like to promote? Where can people find you, Tom, apart from being on Twit? For your project.
I'm just around.
You're just around? They can just find you just wandering the streets?
Tech News Today, obviously, I as in myself, and Sarah Lane, Jason Howell, every morning, 10 a.m., twit.tv/TNT, live.twit.tv. Check it out.
And he's written several books. I suggest checking him out. TomMerritt.com, are they available there?
MerrittBooks.squarespace.com.
Definitely check
out where all my books are. TomMerritt.com is where everything is.
But you got links to everything over there, so I would like to go over that. But yeah, lots of interesting books. I'm a fan, actually, so this is kind of neat. So that does it for us this week. Next week, we're going to finally talk about IFT. Now, I said last week we were going to do that.
The word is if.
IFT, though. If
no,
this,
no, there's no T at the end.
There is in this one.
Oh, really?
If this, then that. This website,
it's an acronym.
It lets you, you make the web work for you. So instead of you going, okay, I'm just going to get all my data passively, you can make the web do so much more for you using IFT. We're going to talk about that. And hopefully, if I have enough time this weekend, there'll be some custom recipes that I'm going to come up with next week. I feel like, what's a recipe? Watch next week. We'll have that for you. So, Tom, thanks again.
All right.
I'm going to steal this now.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no. I got an emergency. So, see you
later.
Well,
now that you know how, Tom's going to leave.